And praise God. John chapter number 6, and let's begin reading at verse number 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I say unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Praise God. Amen. You can mark this down in your book. Amen. This will be 3 in a row. I'm not going to be long-winded this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Could it be a trend? Praise the Lord. I feel hope in the air. Amen. I just got a little thought I want to bring to you this morning. Amen. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Hallelujah. Would you just love him here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you today, Jesus. You're so, so good. You're so, so good to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Praise the Lord, and God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I was reminiscing this morning and looking over some things and just thinking to myself, asking myself some questions. And this morning I remembered, thank the Lord. Man, I've been married 29 years today. And 29 years. And you know what? I just don't have a lot of bad stories. I don't have horror stories. Some people say, "Oh, our worst year was our worst." And our first year was our worst. Our first year was a piece of cake, and second year was pretty much the same way. Third year and fourth year and fifth year, and just had a lot of good times and a lot of memories, a lot of things that, you know, weren't so good, but we went through them together. And so I thought about that, said, you know, and I don't even know exactly how it all came, but just thought, you know, stepped into the sanctuary this morning and began to pray, and I just immediately said and felt the presence of the Lord, and I said, you know, God, you've been the best thing that's ever happened to me. There's been a lot of good things that have happened to me and stuff that I'm very, very thankful for and extremely grateful for, but God's been the best thing. He's been the best thing that has ever happened to me. You know, we could sit here this morning and we could turn a short service into a long service by talking about who we were before, when God found us, and the tragedies and the shipwreck and the mess that we were in when we came to God. Obviously, we weren't saved, just trying to do life the way that we felt was best, and maybe not even felt was best, just doing life for whatever was fun, whatever we wanted to do. Not that we considered it the best for us, but a lot of bad decisions that we're not exactly proud of. A lot of things in life that we wish that we could have go back and change, decisions that we live with for the rest of our lives. We weren't any good. God didn't get a bargain when he found me. You know, I wasn't even worthy of the, for sale aisle. You know, you go down Walmart and they got an aisle there that says, you know, everything in here is a dollar. Everything's $5. Where was I the other day? And I walked in. I can't remember now, but I'm starting to get an excuse. I'm getting older. But I walked in, and I was in Sutherland's. Walked into Sutherland's, and they had three buggies up there. First buggy said, everything's a dollar. Next buggy said, everything's $5. Third buggy said, everything is $10. And the fourth buggy was soda, and it said, half off. I want you to know I wasn't good enough to fit in any of those buggies. We just weren't. We just weren't good enough to fit in any of those buggies. We were that piece of, can I say this respectfully, but we were that piece of garbage that was on the floor that the janitor just pushes to the side and picks up and tosses over in the trash. Amen. That's really kind of our value of our lives. We just weren't anybody. You know, Paul told Timothy, when he was speaking to Timothy concerning these some things, he said, Christ came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. Paul said, I'm the worst. I'm the biggest. I'm the worst. I have a resume, but it ain't the one that anybody's looking for. My resume is the one that everybody would say, file 13, scoot this one over. It's not one of those that says, let's go back to this and look at this again. You start reading this resume, and Paul said, you just discard it. You just throw it away, because I wasn't one that you were looking for. But I thank the Lord that he wasn't in the business of shopping at the high-end expensive stores to try to find what he was looking for. I thank the Lord that the Bible teaches us that he just simply came to seek and to save that which was lost. I fit that category. Amen. I said, I fit that category. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Another place in the Bible, in John chapter number 10, amen, Jesus said, I am come that they may have life. Amen. Amen. You and I, we thought that we had life. We thought that we had it going on. We thought that we had some things that was working in our favor. But you know what? There were still times that when the light went off at the nighttime and we laid in our beds and we thought to ourselves, you know, wonder, you know, what am I doing and what is going on? And, you know, I'm on a crash course with some bad things that was going, that's bound to happen. But there came, amen, a Savior that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen, amen, amen. Those that have that are well have no need of a physician. I needed a physician. Those that aren't lost have no need of a Savior. I was in need of a Savior. I was lost and undone. And I was on my way to a devil's hell. And I'm here today to tell you that he's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. I can stand up without any hesitation and I can emphatically declare that he's been the best thing that has ever happened to me.
Hallelujah. I wasn't righteous. I wasn't good. Amen. There was no good that was about me. Amen. God wasn't getting the good deal when he found me. He found me lost on my way to a devil's hell. But he's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Hallelujah. I wish that I could stand up here today and say that every day, amen, I had my face facing forward and that I was on my way to heaven. But there were days that I was looking behind me. There were days that I was hesitant. There were days that I was dragging my feet. There were days that I was in my carnal way, amen, second guessing myself. But God was good, and he held me, and he helped me, and he brought me through the low times. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Praise God. Praise God. Bible teaches us concerning the nature of God. Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh, as 2 Timothy 3:16 would declare. And but the Bible says that Jesus, this is the nature of who he was. That he was just walking down life's road on his way to who knows where. But nevertheless, he had a purpose. And he walked beside or down by just a stinky fishing village where there was dead fish that may have been floating around, and just the smell of the boats and the ships and the nests, and all of the refuge that was there, it couldn't have smelt very good at all. And he walked by and he saw just some dirty, stinking, smelling fishermen. And don't get offended, Brother Tom. Amen. When we fish, we stink. We smell like fish. Amen. That's a good thing. When we smell like fish, that means we're doing something. We're catching something. Amen. A fisherman that doesn't smell like fish is not having a good day. Amen. He didn't catch anything. Praise God. Amen. Unless he fell in the water. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this is where Jesus was. And he walked down and he saw Peter and Andrew, his brother. And he looked at them and he just simply said, come follow after me. He didn't ask them for a resume. He didn't ask them how many fish that they had caught. He didn't even ask them if they were any good or not. Are you a good fisherman or a bad fisherman? Amen. You know that sign that when you walk into Bass Pro, formerly Cabela's, you walk in and it said, welcome all fishermen and other liars. I'm just here to say they probably got it figured out. And Peter and Andrew were fishermen. Amen. And James and John were fishermen too. And this is who that Jesus walked down the road of their life. And amen. And he just simply looked at them and told them, he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't ask them what their talents were. He didn't ask them if they were good speakers. He didn't ask them, amen, if they were faithful in all these other things. He didn't ask them how good they were and such, and if they had a good boat or anything. He just simply looked at them and it was good enough. And he said, come follow after me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. The Bible teaches us that he would walk by a whole lot of other men, Matthew and Luke, and he would look at them and he wouldn't worry about their calling or their title or anything. He would just bid them to come follow after him. Amen. And that's the way that it was with you and me. I don't know how it all happened. I mean, I personally can tell you how it happened. I was born and raised in an apostolic home. But I want you to know that living for God wasn't on the forefront of my agenda. I was just a rebellious little teenage punk. That's all that I was. I was going the wrong way, and I was going real fast down the road. And you've heard some of the testimony that within just a short amount of time, whether it was weeks or just within a few months, but it was a very short amount of time, the very individual that I hung out with every single day, he lived across the street from me. And the very individual that I hung out with every single day, amen, within a short amount of time was in juvenile detention. detention center. Amen. Would later be put in prison. And today, as far as I know, he's in prison today. And that would have been me. That was the way that I was headed. I was headed down that road of life. Amen. And I wasn't a good kid and doing a lot of bad things and such. But Jesus came by one day and he began to talk to me and began to deal with my heart. I don't know why he chose me. I don't know why he gave me a second chance. I don't know why he picked me out of all. My dad's not a preacher. I'm not born into the family of any preacher. But he saw something in me that I didn't see and that nobody else saw in me. And he said, come and follow after me. That's where he found you. Amen, amen, amen. When he would look at Jacob and he would ask Jacob, he said, what is your name? And Jacob would have to stammer and stutter for a little bit and say, well, I'll tell you what everybody calls me. Everybody calls me Jacob. You know what he was really saying? Everybody calls me deceiver. Everybody calls me manipulator. Everybody called, because that's what he was known for. Amen. He knew how to manipulate. He knew how to deceive. Amen. Amen. Somebody would say, what is your name? Hey, you want to know what my mom calls me, or you want to know what everybody thinks of me? It wasn't a good deal. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody would say, oh, you know what? There goes that drunk. There goes that alcoholic. I remember growing up in just a little town, and that's probably why. But, amen, it just seemed like you knew everybody in town and you knew what they were known for. We had men that walked the streets and we had other people, and we just say, you know what? That's a bad crowd right there. That's a bad man right there. You don't want to be around that individual. You don't want, amen. And the ladies would go around or whatever, and you say, you know what, that lady, she's a gossip. She's a gossip. Yeah, I heard all kinds of cliches about those gossiping ladies and such, that they can sit on the porch, outside on the front porch, and got a tongue so long they can lick the frying pan in the kitchen while sitting on the porch. Amen. That's how they were known for. That's what they were known for. Amen. That's a liar. You know what? Their brother is the devil, because, amen, they open their mouth and talking, you know they're lying. Somebody say, well, how do you know they're lying? If their mouth is open and they're talking, they're lying. Amen. That's how you and I were known. We weren't great people. We weren't great people, but Jesus came into our life, and he didn't care what the world called us, and he didn't care what people knew us as, and he didn't care what people thought of us. He just simply said, come, follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm here today to tell you, he's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I said, he's been the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Praise God. Amen. There are things in life that we had to leave behind. As Peter and Andrew got up and walked away from their nets, and James and John got up and walked away from their boats, walked away from their nets and such. You know, there's just something about when Jesus calls you, there's just some things that you want to leave behind. There's some things that we need to leave behind. Why? Because the book of Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4, I believe it is, talks about that we are buried with him in baptism, and that we would walk in the newness of life. This is like Bartimaeus sitting beside the gate and begging with a beggar's coat on and his blind glasses on and his blind man's cane and such. But when Jesus said, bring him unto me, then Bartimaeus got up, and the Bible said that he cast his robe, his coat away. He threw it away. He said, you know what, I've got all intentions. I'm not going to be known as a blind man anymore. He left it. Everything that associated him with being a blind man, blind Bartimaeus is walking down the road. That's what they say. Oh, there's the blind man. Oh, there's the blind man. You know, there's this one, there's that one, there's this, there's that stuff. Blind Bartimaeus, he said, I'm not going to be known as I have been known. And he took his blind man's coat and he threw it to the side and he went to Jesus. And Jesus was able to touch him and to heal him. And he no longer, there's some things that we need to leave in the past. Praise God. There's some connections. There's some there's things that are in that former life that need to stay there. Amen. Jesus did not tell Peter, pick up your net, get your fishing pole, and come follow after me. He just simply said, follow after me. And Peter got up and left his nets right where they were and went and followed after Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you today that Jesus wants to give you a brand new life, that you could walk in the newness of life. Amen. He's not interested in you bringing all of your garbage with you. He's not interested. Amen. Some of it is garbage. Amen. But there's other things, amen, that weighed us down, and cares of life that are there. Amen. He wants to set you free from all of those things, amen, that weigh you down. He wants to set you free from the past, amen, that weighs heavily upon your mind, that you can't seem to get past, and you just constantly thinking and thinking and thinking and trying to figure it out and trying to work it out. My question is, how far have you gotten? Amen. When you begin to try, I just want you to know I didn't get very far when I was trying to work it out on my own. But when I came to Jesus, he took all of that past and he put it in the past and he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness and he gave me a brand new life, and old things were passed away and behold, all things were become new. He's been the best thing that has ever happened to me. Oh, let's love him here today.
Praise God. First part of that verse says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, for how shall we that are dead to sin? Let me just tell you something. This is how much Jesus loves you. He doesn't want to save you in your sin. He wants to save you from your sin. You know, that's the problem with this world. They have been lied to so much that they believe that they can accept Christ as their personal Savior, continue to be an alcoholic, because once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and then everything is right, and they live in such remorse and such heaviness and such depression, amen, believing that they have Christ, amen, because that they accepted him at some point in their life, but they're still burdened down by the cares of life, still burdened down with the, amen, with the burden of alcoholism and all of these other things, and thinking that this is the best that life can afford me. I want you to know that's not the best that life can afford you. Amen. That may be the best that life can afford you, but I want to introduce you to a life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he doesn't come to save you in your sin. He comes to save you from your sin. And you're not going to get Jesus by simply accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. And you're not going to get Jesus by simply believing on the Lord. And I almost preached that this morning. But you're not going to get Jesus by simply believing on the Lord. Amen. Do you have to accept? Yes. Do you have to believe? Yes. But you also got to repent. You've also got to be baptized. You've also got to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And when you are born again of the water and the Spirit, amen, you can have a new life. He'll set you free from the vices of sin. He'll set you free from alcohol. He'll set you free from nicotine. He'll set you free from every vice that this world has you tangled up in. Praise God. Amen. And we can attest and say that because he's been the best thing that ever happened to us. And I look through the Bible and I see that that wasn't the only time that Jesus showed up. For a lot of people and their walk or their life with Christ, that's the only experience that they have, is that initial accepting of the Lord. And that's all that they have to go back to. Sit down and let me talk to you for a while, because I can take up a lot of your time from telling you of all the times that God has shown up for me. You know, Peter was at a place one time when he was so afraid. And he thought, being a fisherman, he knew what he was talking about, but he thought that he was getting ready to perish because of the storm that was raging. And Jesus showed up in the most unusual way. He's walking on water. Let me just tell you, I don't care where you are, Jesus can get to you. If he needs to walk on water, he'll walk on water. If he needs to come into the flames, he'll enter into the fire. If he's got to get into the lion's den, he'll go to the lion's den. But Jesus knows how to get to you. That's why we can stand and say, he's been the best thing that's ever happened. And they cried out because sometimes Jesus' ways are not so conventional that makes you feel great. They cried out with fear, thinking that he was a spirit. Lord said, it's just me. Peter said, Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, come on. And Peter stepped out of the boat. And I just want you to know that it doesn't matter where you are in life. Jesus can get there. It doesn't even matter where you are mentally in life. Figure, you're so captivated. You're so captured. You're so bound by your thoughts because you're sitting there trying to work it all out on paper, trying to figure it out and how to make this and this work and stuff. And you're laying there at nighttime trying to imagine and trying to make it all work. And you're sitting here thinking to yourself, well, if this person over here would do this and stuff, then this would work out and this would work out. And you know it doesn't happen. And that leaves you with more heartache and more brokenness. Yeah, that's the world that we all were in. The song says, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But thank God he made something beautiful out of my life. And so just because that Jesus would meet you at an altar does not mean that he's done with you. He's got a way of showing up into your life. You know, Peter made a mess out of things when he denied Christ there at Calvary. But what do we see? Jesus went back looking for him. And where was Peter? Back in his old life, because that's our human tendency to go back and to do some of those things again, thinking that for some reason or another it's going to work out differently this time. It didn't work out differently, Peter. You're still as naked and still as carnal and still as brash as you've always been. And Peter looked out and he said, oh, it's the Lord. Why? I feel quite ashamed. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in life that makes us feel very ashamed when Jesus comes back into the picture. And Peter, feeling ashamed, picked up his garment and put it, robed himself in it, put it back on him, dove into the water and swam over to where Jesus was. And Jesus was already preparing to help Peter. Not only was he cooking a physical meal and cooking fish, amen, but he was cooking up a spiritual lesson to talk to Peter and to help Peter. I just want you to know that, amen, Jesus doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. Hebrews says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. In Matthew, he said, lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. That's why we can stand and say he's been the best thing that has ever happened to us. I have not always done as I needed to do. I haven't been as good as I planned to be. But he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's been the best thing that has ever happened to me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The nature of Jesus, as I'm closing this morning, the nature of Jesus varies. Number one, he does what he wants to because he's God. You see, there are times that he says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You go over to Genesis chapter number 7, I believe it's verse number 1, and you'll see where the Lord was speaking unto Noah, and he told Noah, he said, come thou and all thy family into the ark. He bids us, come. Come. In our text, it said, no man can come to him except that the Father would draw him. Come. Come. But you know what? I'm so thankful that, because I'm hard-headed. And I can be stubborn. And you're hard-headed. And you can be stubborn. But you see, the way that our God is there are times when he looks at us and he says, come. But yet the book of Revelation chapter number 3 says there's other times when he stands at my door. And he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear me, if he will come and if he will open up the door, I will come into him. There are times that he says, come. But there's other times that he stands at your door and says, if you'll open up the door, I will come into you and I will sup with you and you with me. That is the nature of this great and mighty God. Amen. He's not necessarily, amen, standing with his back turned to us and saying, oh, I know what you did yesterday. Amen. He's not necessarily a fault finder. The only reason he points out our faults is because our faults are going to send us to a devil's hell. Amen. But he says, come, I'll take care of those faults. He says, let me come in and I'll take care of those faults. You need to open up unto him and let him come in. You need to come unto him and let him take care of the issues of life, because he's been the best thing that'll ever happen to you. Let's stand here this morning. Talking to people this morning that you have same issues that I had, not by the same name and maybe not the exact same, but the problem is we were messed up. Some of you would not be very proud, but you would raise your hand and you say, you know what, I was a backslider, and I walked away from God. What a great story you have. Jesus has been the best thing that ever happened to you. Because for everybody else, they'd have just kicked you to the curb. But Jesus didn't quit. He didn't quit. 1 year didn't satisfy him. 2 years, 5 years didn't satisfy. He just kept coming. That's because he loves you so much. My Bible says that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You're standing here today because of the grace of God. Right. You're standing here today because of the mercies of God. Peter recognized this, because there are times when the Lord does have some pretty hard sayings. And you know why it's hard? Because you and I make it hard. We have these little things that we like to try to hide and to hold dear into our life, and Jesus comes tapping us on the shoulder about those little things that aren't going to do us very good. Moses thought that he could kill that Egyptian, and he had already looked around and nobody was watching. And he thought that he could get away with it. Well, Moses, there's always somebody that'll see you. And in your case, there was an Egyptian that saw you, because the Egyptian said, are you going to kill me too? Or no, there was a Hebrew that saw it, because the Hebrew said, are you going to kill me too? But you know what? There was a God that saw him too. Hey, Moses, we need to talk about some things. You know what? That's why it gets hard in our life, because Jesus comes into our life and says, we need to talk about some things. And we look at that and we bow up and we say, well, that's a hard thing. saying. No, it's hard because we make it a hard thing. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, see all these others that have gone. He said, Peter, are you going to go also? He looked at the 12. He said, will you go also? Peter looked and he said, to where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? I want to ask you a question this morning. Where are you going to go? To whom would you go? Back to a hard, cruel life, immorality, drugs, alcohol, messed up life of jail, life of crime records, in with the bad people, wrong people. There's a couple in here that know of an individual like such. A man that was living for God, doing very well. He walked away from God, said he just had to get his mind right. He didn't plan to go very far, didn't plan to stay very long. But he's in prison or in jail today. Back to a messed up world, a world of crime. It's not, wasn't his intentions, didn't plan to be there. But that's what real life has to offer you outside of Jesus. Divorce, wrecks of life, split families. That's what the devil does, because the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do not think that you're going to walk out of the house of God and just go off into great, wondrous, prosperous bliss. That's not what the thief does. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. He wants to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And so I open up these altars here this morning. Maybe you want to come talk to the one that's been the best thing that ever happened to you. Or maybe you would like for him to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I introduce you to Jesus Christ. He can do it. He can so do it. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's so faithful. He'll help you. You may have tried everything else. The alcoholic will say, I've tried AA and they couldn't help me. You didn't try Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus can help you. God can help you. Churches will let you down. Religion will let you down. Jesus Christ won't let you down. He's faithful. Oh, let's talk to him. Let's talk to him today.